this week's edition of Will and Wise,
the Dog Show Drive.
Yes, this week on the Dog Show Drive, we're going to talk about an event that's coming up pretty soon. It only happens every 5 years. Morris and Essex.
We're going to give you
some history on the Morris and Essex Dog Show, what to wear at the Morris and Essex Dog Show, and could we have a Morris and Essex-like dog show here in Canada?
Yes.
And more from Kennel and Bench. All that.
And more.
On this week's edition of Will and Wise.
The Dog Show Drive.
How was your weekend, Y?
It's fairly boring.
Yeah, not much happened this weekend. There was no shows in Ontario last weekend.
Really? Well, I guess. Yeah, you are correct.
Yeah, they were in Calgary and down east.
Yeah. Out east.
Yeah, down east.
Out east.
Coat in a boot down east.
We have this argument all the time because people from here, when we say we are going down east, we mean to Toronto. And then you said, well, what do you say when you go to the Maritimes? I'm like, that's out east because it's further out. It's a true story. I'm not the only one who does it.
I know you're not.
I'm not the only weirdo around. But I just watched football season started, so I can watch.
It did start, yeah.
Nonstop football. I watched my Hamilton Tiger Cats. I watched everything.
Did you watch the Argos? They won. And I thought they were going to lose.
I thought they were going to lose too.
Because okay, they were losing the whole game. They were losing.
Yeah.
And I'm not watching this. God,
I didn't watch the whole game. So I just watched a lot of football. I'm doing some work. Probably could have mowed the lawn for Darren, but I didn't. He did.
You know what's coming?
Christmas.
Hockey.
This is true.
Because someone said to me that they were missing the hockey talk.
Our hockey talk?
The hockey talk on the Dog Show Drive.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
No, they actually said they liked it better now because there was less hockey
talk. I was about to say that. I was like, really? I find that hard to believe, William.
But now the hockey season's starting, we can start back up again.
We'll say a thing or two, of course, because you know we are not just so focused on just dog shows alone.
Exactly.
There is a wide world of stuff that goes on.
That's right.
Wide world
of stuff. Prestige worldwide.
Prestige worldwide. Boats and hoes. Boats. Still one.
Well, it's our show. We can say.
Yeah, we can say whatever we want. Let me tell you about the number of people that come up to me and say, "How hard is it for you not to swear while you're on the podcast?" And I tell them it's the toughest hour of my week. As we all know, I'm mentally drained by the end of the podcast because I am trying not to curse or cuss.
Right. Express yourself.
Yeah.
It's the vein. No, I didn't do much at all this weekend either. Liam and I went. Liam's my son. We enjoy going antiquing. So we went antiquing. Now that's just going through like antique shops and stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't buy anything. He bought some things. So
yeah. It's so funny the way you did that. Liam is my son. Well, most people know that. They didn't figure it was your life partner.
Well, once I said antiquing, then I go, oh.
Not a stereotype anyway.
No, but I know. I go antiquing whenever I can.
Yeah, well, I just go to garage sales.
That's antiquing.
Yeah, I suppose. No. I suppose.
We buy junk and sell antiques. So did you remember that sign? It was at this antique store. Yeah. I think it was near the Valley Dog Show.
That was one of our tours?
Yeah. We buy junk and sell antiques. Oh, that's perfect.
I'm not gonna lie, I do watch those the Canadian Pickers. I watch those shows quite a bit. It's kind of weird, but I do.
Yeah.
I enjoy them. They find such delightful treasures.
Well, I've got stuff here, Yvonne, that I'm pretty sure someone's going to be a millionaire at some point. Someone. Or someone that figures out that's how much they want to pay for it.
Exactly.
So there wasn't much going on. So
no.
But it was a relaxing weekend. So
yep. And then
we did get some bad news yesterday. Yes. Go ahead. It was on Facebook. Craig Watt. I don't know if anybody remember. I remember Craig Watt. Of course I do. But the people that aren't familiar with Craig, he was involved with Borzoi. He showed a lot of Borzoi for Catherine Fenescalco. How do I say her name? Fenescalco. Fasciano. That's it. Fasciano.
Yeah.
And
cousins with Jennifer
Renes.
Apparently, last names are not going to be our thing today, folks.
Not working today. Not working. I'll go
Jennifer
I'll go
R. Craig, with the Alaska Mailing Mutes. Anyhow.
Jen Romaski.
Yes. They were cousins. Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and Craig was a great guy. He was an artist. He was good at people and dogs.
Oh,
art-wise.
Really?
And he was a good handler for Boar, so he did a lot of winning for Karen in the earlier days. It was a sad day for a lot of people that knew. Stacy D. Podesta is the one that told me about it. I know Stacy was close with Craig, and I never got a chance to send Karen anything but my condolences to Karen, our condolences to Karen.
Yes.
It was a sad day. I hadn't seen Craig in a long time, so,
it's too bad.
Yeah.
So,
anyway.
Well, we've got a lot. We've got a big show today.
Big show, really, really big show. It's probably really the biggest show. There's no bigger show than this show.
Bigger show.
People told me there's no bigger show.
No bigger
smart
show.
Smart people have told me.
Why, thanks. It's not like the thing is, we tape this on Tuesday, and this is how the week is shaping up. Tuesday afternoon, and this is where we're at already, folks. So,
it's so hot here. Is it hot there?
It is warm. It is unseasonably warm.
Yeah. So, has your snow melted then?
Yes. Yes. We're going to get a reprieve. Fanny, stop licking your feet. Holy man.
You know, this is a dog podcast. Fanny, stop licking your feet.
She's stressing me out. She's stressing me out. I'm going to start licking my feet in a minute. Stop that. If I could get my foot to know. Cut. Anyway, let's start by going across Canada. For the two shows we had. This is driven by Show Scene Magazine, Show Scene, where every dog takes center stage. So, as you said, we had two shows, both good size shows, too. First one was out in Alberta, Olds, Alberta, Calgary Kennel and Obedience Club. And that was four shows, and it had...
I thought you were saying Old Alberta, but it's actually Olds, Alberta. Old Alberta, you know.
Good old Alberta.
So, what is she talking about?
This is why our podcast gets long, because we...
But this is the part people enjoy. They like this. This is the show.
Does your mom not just tell you you're just an idiot? Like, doesn't she say that? Yeah, well, my mom does. Anyhow, in Olds, Alberta, they had four shows, and they had 1,136 dogs over the four shows, which was down just slightly, not enough though, from 2024.
Like 30 dogs.
Yeah, they're only down 30 dogs. So very good. That's a good number. That's a good number across four shows. Well done. Well done. And then we had all the way on the other side of the country in Stellarton, Nova Scotia. We had
an old Nova Scotia.
An old Nova. No, that's no. New Scotia. Remember? New Scotia. Nova Scotia. New Scotia. Anyway, Pictou County Kennel Club. And they had four shows, and they had 607 dogs, and that is up very dramatically from the previous year because they only had 461. So that was well done, folks. I don't know what you did, but well done. And they also had the, what was it called? The Clumber Spaniel National there.
Oh, what was it called?
What was it called? What was that thing called?
I knew about. What was the Clumber, the big show for the Clumber Spaniel? What's it called?
You know, that one. Yes, this is how it goes, folks. Anyhow, so yeah, so the great, they had an awesome entry. So that was Across Canada, presented to you by Show Scene Magazine. Show Scene, where every dog takes center stage.
Center stage.
Center stage. And then we have our upcoming shows, and these are brought to you by Canuck Dogs, your source for Canadian dog show events online. So we have, Megan's already got us into the end of October. I'm not doing November shows yet. I refuse to. So we're just going to do the end of October shows. So there's two shows. We have Red Deer and District Kennel Club, and that's October 31st through to November 2nd, and that closes on October 15th, and that's three all breed shows, three obedience trials, and three rally obedience trials. And then we have Trillium Dog Fanciers, and that's October 31st through the 2nd as well, and that's three all breed shows and limited breed shows for groups 1, 2, and 5. So that's, I'm skipping ahead. I'm not doing the November shows yet. I'm not ready for it. Not. I'm not. So
all right, we're not going to do the November shows.
No, we're not. Not yet. Next week.
All
next week, next week, please.
All right.
Okay. So then those were your upcoming shows, and they're brought to you by Canuck Dogs, your source for Canadian canine event information online.
Online.
And you can go on that website and you can see all the standings, et cetera, to see how the top dog race is playing out. How about that? I enjoy the hunt. And then, excuse me, reminders for closing. So we have the Avalon Kennel Club closing Friday, September 19th, which is tomorrow, and that's or when the limit is reached. And the show secretary for that show is Yvonne Drover. And then the Abigawit Kennel Club closing on Monday, September the 22nd at 9 p.m. or when their limit is reached.
Do you think that's how they pronounce it, Abigawit?
Well, I'm hoping. I was hoping you didn't notice that what I said, and you would just like let me go with it.
Abigawit? I did, but I was just curious.
No. Well, how anyway, would you say?
Well, would you that's how phonetically, that's how it sounds.
Well, but that's what I tried.
If the locals actually call it that, it's like if you pronounce Etobicoke the way it's phonetically spelled, it's Etobicoke.
And then Faith said it. Remember that?
Etobicoke, yes.
In the school, the hair school. The hair school she was going to. Remember the hair school? It was in
She also thought Mike Myers was in Halloween.
Well, she wasn't wrong. It was just not the right Mike Myers.
Michael Myers.
Michael Myers. Yeah. Anyway, Faith. Okay,
yeah,
so that's
on the show.
Friend of the show, Faith Norton. And that show secretary's noteworthy farm show services. And then we have the United Kennel Club closing on Tuesday, September 23rd. We stop it.
It's all coming back to the line of a coke. But like, see, that's a perfect example. So thank you, Faith.
Thank you. The United Kennel Club closing Tuesday, September 23rd at 8 p.m. And the show secretary is the Diana Edwards Show Services. And finally, we have Medicine Hat Kennel Club closing Wednesday, September 24th at 11 p.m. And that show secretary is Arctic Dreams. So don't forget about those upcoming closings.
Excellent.
So
have you told everybody where you're going? Why you're fretting so much about Fanny licking your feet and your hair and blah, blah, blah.
Prior to us taping, he had to listen to me rave on about my hair and Carolyn making
and
a hair
make an
appointment.
They made an appointment right in front of me.
Because even though I have a daughter that I paid to go to hairdressing school, I can never get my daughter
in Etobicoke.
In Etobicoke. It's a very good, it's, I think it's the Canadian Hairdressing Academy in Etobicoke, Ontario.
Is that near Cobequeque?
So
I
anyway.
Still have people asking if I live in Cobequeque.
So anyway, she has not cut my hair. I've asked continually and she'll give you every reason why she hasn't. And it's always my fault, whatever. But anyway, Carolyn had to make me a hair appointment because I am going to go to, and it's this week's topic, is the Morris and Essex Dog Show.
Yes.
Ta-da!
How exciting. Yep.
It is exciting, but I am now just
freaking out.
It's becoming a basket case because I didn't realize what I was roping myself into.
Well, you'll be fine. It's just the logistics you're worried about. It'll be fine.
Well,
once you're at the dog show, it's just a dog show. You'll be fine.
No, it's not the actual dog show part. It's the fact that I have to get a haircut. I need to get an outfit. Blah, blah, like, you know, let's get into it. And then I will explain to people.
Okay, tell us all about the Morris and Essex Show.
Well, thanks to our good R&D person, Megan, she has found out everything we need
Megan
to know.
Megan Wozniak.
Wozniak.
Friend of the show. More than friend of the show. Part of the show.
Part of the show. Underpaid assistant that she is. So we've got some history on the Morris and Essex Show. And what we determined that it's held once every 5 years.
We've determined that.
We've determined that. Unlike
Megan and I knew that. It was you that was.
Well, I thought it was like the Olympics. It was held every four years. Isn't it every 4 years? Well, wouldn't that make more sense, though? It was every 4 years, just like the Olympics. It would make more sense to me. But anyway, it's a very large show. And we're going to give you a little bit of history on it. So
okay, I'm ready.
Sit back and relax. Please, William, don't fall asleep. All right, so the Morris and Essex Show. This is a summary of Joan Harrigan's article on Geraldine R. Dodge. Now, Geraldine R. Dodge, born in 1882, and then she passed in 1973, niece of John D. Rockefeller Sr., was one of the most influential figures in American dog history. Wealthy and
philanthropic.
Thank you. She was deeply involved in breeding, showing, and judging purebred dogs, especially German Shepherds and English Cocker Spaniels. Her compassion and keen eye for quality helped launch the career of Ernest, is it Loeb?
Yeah, Ernie Loeb. He was a very famous German Shepherd person. Him and Jim Moses were best of friends.
Oh, yes. German-Jewish refugee when she personally assisted him and his dog, Brando, to win Best of Breed at the 1937 Westminster Show. Loeb went on to become Mr. German Shepherd, shaping the breed in the U.S. Dodge lived separately from her husband, Marcellus Hartley Dodge. I have there. That's a good idea, actually. On her grand Madison, New Jersey estate, Giralda Farms, where she operated her renowned kennels and wrote two breed books. She was the first woman invited to judge at Westminster and judged Best in Show in 1933. Now, back then, that would have been like huge for a woman.
No question. Yeah.
You know, especially in the 30s. I don't even know. Did they have the vote by then? Maybe. Anyhow, she also had a lasting impact on animal welfare. In 1939, she founded the St. Giralda. Now
we have a chain up here called St. Hubert. So we automatically in our heads say St.
Hubert. St. Hubert.
Because they've got really good chicken.
Really good chicken. really good chicken. Winner, winner, chicken
easily,
dinner.
Easily beats out our Swiss chalet.
Yes. Anyway, the St. Hubert's Giralda, now St. Hubert's Animal Welfare Center, a pioneering animal shelter still operating today. She supported the Seeing Eye, pushed for dog licensing and rabies vaccination programs, and personally cared for elderly strays. Dodge's most famous contribution to the dog world was the Morris and Essex Dog Show, held on the polo fields of Hartley Farms, known for its elegance, efficiency, and scale. Drawing up to 50,000 spectators, it became one of the most prestigious U.S. dog shows before ending in 1957. After her death, her fortune funded the Geraldine R. Dodge Foundation. Foundation, which supports educational, cultural, and environmental initiatives. Her legacy lives on through her breeding programs, writings, support of future dog fanciers, St. Hubert Shelter, and the revived Morris and Essex Kennel Club Dog Show. The Morris and Essex Kennel Club show, founded in 1927 by Geraldine Rockefeller Dodge, was known for its elegance, quality judging, and social prestige. In its heyday, the show attracted over 50,000 spectators and more than 4,000 dogs, making it one of the most celebrated events in the dog show world. Mrs. Dodge, a passionate breeder and philanthropist, see, I didn't think about the word and I could say it that time, elevated the standards of dog breeding and showing, housing more than 150 dogs at her Giralda Farms kennels and producing over 200 best in show winners.
Wow.
That's incredible. She was also the first woman to judge best in show at Westminster in 1933. Okay, we said that already. After Morris and Essex ended in 1957, the show was revived in 2000 by Wayne Ferguson and a dedicated committee who sought to recreate its original elegance and high standards. Now held every 5 years at Colonial Park in Somerset, New Jersey, the modern event features 30 show rings, top AKC judges, international entries, and specialty competitions. It maintains its historic charm with touches like box lunches for exhibitors, live music, race platforms for group winners, and a quiet generator-free environment. Ooh, how interesting. Generator-free.
Yep.
Just a surge of panic has gone through me once again. Anyway.
How is she going to dry her dog? There's no generators.
The show also includes vintage car displays, elaborate trophies, commemorative memorabilia, and charity fundraisers, making it as much a social occasion as a competitive one. Each event honors the vision and legacy of Geraldine Dodge, celebrating her contributions to the dog world and transporting spectators back to a more gracious era of dog showing.
That is the truth. Like I was not the last one, the one prior to that I was at. And it was, the atmosphere was wonderful. It did make you think about bygone years, like the way people were dressed and the flowers. And it just was just a very fun event to go to. I wish I was going this year. So,
well, I am. So I'll just take
some time. I know you are.
So anyway, the 2015 Morris and Essex Kennel Club show was the club's largest since Mrs. Dodge's record-setting 1939 event, with 4,152 dogs entered and 3,554 competing, making it the largest outdoor dog show in the U.S. in more than 20 years and the biggest AKC show of any kind since 2004. It narrowly surpassed the record of another major outdoor shows, such as Palm Springs in 2006 and Santa Barbara in 1987. The show's size is a testament to its prestige and the renewed interest in dog shows. Despite recent declines in entries nationwide, in recognition of tradition, the club voted to cap future entries at 4,455, one less than the 1939 record entry.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Yeah. And it does tell you something, that because they maxed out again this year.
Yeah.
And it just tells you that people are just spending their money and time in different ways now.
Exactly, right?
They're choosing events rather than just going to every show that's down the road.
Yeah. So historic entry numbers showed steady growth from 595 in 1927 to the all-time high of 4,456 in 1939.
That's only like 12 years later. That's incredible.
That's amazing. Before dropping post World War II and ending in 1957, when revived in 2000, entries have steadily climbed, peaking again in 2015. While size is impressive, Morris and Essex remains celebrated more for its tradition, hospitality, and dedication to the sport's history than sheer numbers. So, and I believe this year, yeah, like you said, it also reached.
Oh, it did. It reaches its limit. So that just goes, it, like we talked about, you know, in our view, we talked about SD and G and Elgin, how they both reached great numbers being on the same weekend in Ontario. Yeah. And I think people are just choosing to spend their money more wisely on events that they want to attend. Yeah. And that shows you, like, they're you can't say that American entries aren't declining, because they definitely are, but that shows you that give them an event such as this and everybody wants to go. What?
So anyway, we're sitting here talking about, like, it reached its, because it had a limited entry, right? And I'm thinking about when I entered, which was, it was the day before the close, because I was making sure I entered before closing date, because I did at the time, I probably did not realize that they did have a limit. So anyhow, I'm just sitting here and I'm panicking and I'm thinking, did I get a confirmation?
All this stuff's going through your head. How am I going to drive my dog? Am I...
I'm gonna need an ad event soon. Anyway, I just checked on my computer and I'm like, yep, I have an entry. I believe my number is 908. I have confirmation. I am in the show, or Fanny is in the show. She keeps looking
at feet, though. Very good. Yes. It does, panic does run through you, because it's split second thing. Because you've already made plans logistically.
Yeah.
And it's
But
you're in. So now that brings us to what's next. What are you gonna wear?
Yes.
At Morrison Essex.
Meh. So
is that a French fry?
A big part of the whole deal is that
atmosphere,
the atmosphere. So of course it's about what you wear, and I have seen pictures prior to this, and it's not that I was not aware of, but I really didn't process, you know what I'm saying, it didn't process that I would be part of this now. So you dress up, which is fine. But if anybody
knows, just dressing up, you're dressing up for that era.
Right. And if anybody knows me.
1930s, you know. You got like 1927 and 1955. You can fix up your ensemble in that era.
Yeah. All I can think of is, are you going to do something with your hair, dear? Like, that's all I think about, because that's who I associate with that era.
Well, that was Betty Hislop that said that. She was probably at that first Morrison Essex show.
More than likely. So the thing about, are you going to do something with your hair, dear? We did show dogs for Betty.
Yeah, we were showing dogs for Betty Hislop in Canada for Carandania. And we were at Progressive Dog Club, which is the day before Terrier Breeders. So we had the Karen. And I think I had won sporting group with some of the setter, and when I also, we won the terrier group as well. So you stayed on the terrier and I went in on the setter, and the terrier, which is sort of like Hatboro and Devon, the terrier wins best in show at Progressive. And like that may have been Betty Hislop's last All Breed Best in Show. I'm not sure, but she was very excited and very happy with everything. But she came up to me and she said, what a lovely win, dear, but what are we going to do with her hair? For the picture.
Oh, as Betty lipsticks donut on her lip. Yeah, so anyhow.
Well, she was a character. I'm sure she went to a lot of the Morrison Essex shows. Yes.
So anyway, we got a little bit about fashion here. And found a little thing about fashion. So anyhow, this was by Denise Flame. So fashion fades, Coco Chanel famously said, only style remains the same. Purebred dog fanciers know this all too well. In their individual breeds, fads come and may go, but that which is essential and intrinsic persists. So it should come as no surprise that a dog show as well-heeled as Morrison Essex should inspire a degree of sartorial splendor that almost no other show can match. Before the show, everyone is asking each other, do you know what you're wearing? Says Morrison Essex board member and supported entries chair Lorraine Biso of
I love Lorraine.
Yes, Meltair, Louisiana. Many attendees opt for a vintage look that echoes the original show's long tenure from 1927 to 1957, she adds, which leaves a lot of leeway. It can be everything from Lady Mary goes shooting to the ladies who lunch at Donna Reed's sets to Donna Reed sets the table. What remains a constant, however, is the degree of anticipation that accompanies the wardrobe choices for this once every 5 year spectacle. Once again, 5 years. It's gotten to the point where some of the outfits are as well kept a secret, are as well kept a secret as the judging panel, adds Mrs. Bissot, who judged English setters and Welsh Springer Spaniels at the show. Nobody's tipping their hand too early. They all want to capture the crowd when they walk on the grounds. Elaine Lessing of Clinton, New Jersey, who judged Chinese Crested, Miniature Pinschers, and Toy Fox Terriers at the 2015 show, didn't need to go far afield to outfit herself. She collects vintage clothing as well as hats and has examples from the Victorian, even Edwardian eras, as well as some from cover designers, including surrealist 1950s icon Elsa Schiaparelli. Is that it? I don't know. Anyway, you can never get enough of a good thing, she says. So what That's are you true. Wearing in 2025, everyone? Yeah. And I would love if some people would write in and tell me what they're wearing. I actually did.
Her, yeah. Elaine, Les, you should call Elaine.
Yeah, okay. So.
She'd be glad to help you. She does that fashion thing on Canine Chronicle TV.
Yes.
So she'd be great. I love Elaine. Elaine has so much style and such a character. She's fun to be around.
So I did text Katie, because of course I'm going with Katie and Adam Bernardin. And so I did text Katie this morning. I'm like, what are we doing about my outfit? Because you don't want me coming looking like the hired help that got let off the farm. Anyway. Katie said
you never do that.
I know, but I'm all panicked because you know it takes a lot of effort. So now at least I'm getting my hair cut. So my hair is going to be a touch more manageable, because this kind of hair really wasn't that fashionable back then. It wasn't.
If you go back to the silent era of some of those actresses, some pretty crazy hair.
Silent era. What are you trying to say, Will? Are you telling me to shut up?
No, of course not. I would never do that.
Not like it'd work. Anyway, so I am a little bit nervous. And then I said to Katie, do I have to wear a hat? Because I know hats are very popular.
Yeah.
And Katie said no.
A lot of ladies wear hats. A lot of men wear hats. A lot of they wear those little caps.
I think a jaunty hat is delightful.
Yeah.
This hair.
I wore a hat last time.
This hair does not do two things. It does not camp, and it does not wear a hat.
You'll have to staple it in. Right? Or you can just tie it, like they do with Pooley. When one of the braids falls off, they just
tie it back on. Anyway,
dreadlocks. I'm going to stop.
I am going to say I am really looking forward to it. I think once I get there, I'll be fine. But
did Katie have some suggestions for you?
Not yet. She said she was going to send me some stuff. So now I have to, but I have to go find something though, because I don't really believe I have anything that, I don't know. I actually, nope, it's too late in the era. I have to think about body type and all of that. Now my body dysmorphia is going to come to a head. Oh, it's just going to be terrible. I just know it.
Oh no.
It's like, I'm so fat.
Guys just have to wear a vest and a cap and they're laughing.
Shut up. another suit. Okay. Anyway. Anyhow.
Jesse and Roxy Sutton's always dressed up really well. They always go right into it. So
yeah.
Be fun to see what they're wearing this year.
Yep. So anyway, Morris and Essex entries closed at 4,455 dogs this year, which is the show's maximum entry.
That is so cool.
Yeah. So then we were.
It made us think.
Which made us think. Yes, it did make us think about the Canadian shows that were huge in their heyday. And we've got some that
were events. The Canadian shows that were events in their heyday that everybody tried to attend.
Right. Cool. Yeah. So we had out in BC, we had Lower Mainland.
Yeah,
and that was in October, wasn't it?
Yeah. And that was not that long ago. That was like 90s.
Yeah.
Where it reached its heyday. Because it was huge, with big numbers.
That was a big, big show. And they had a lot of great judges. Foreign judges used to come in for it. Yeah, that was a great show.
And that could make or break your year, Lower Mainland.
Yes, yes, yeah. It could. Yes. Yep. We have Greenwood.
The Greenwood Kennel Club. Yeah, it was held the racetrack. It's it's gone to the wayside too.
So. And I don't ever remember that show.
No, I don't. Yeah. I may have attended one. I don't know.
So there was that one. Then we talked
about Mrs. show. Whitmore talking about it. I think she was the founder.
So that gives you an idea. We're so lucky.
She's not around to smack.
I was just about to say that. We are so lucky some of these people have departed and we can't get a little email from them or better yet, the phone call.
Yeah, I'd get the phone call.
Yeah, Mrs. Whitmore would not be emailing you. She'd
wait to see me at the dog show was going over my exhibit. By the way, a word.
And then there was Save the Children show. We were talking about that a few weeks ago.
Can Save. Kathy and Levine DeBrone had a huge amount to do with that when I was active at that show.
Yeah.
But that was an event we all looked forward to. It was they had an auction and it was just a whole weekend long event. When it was sort of like our fall show too. Our last outdoor show.
Yeah, like that was the kickoff to the fall season and everything.
When I worked for Gary, he would always I gotta bring out my sweater vest for a Can Save. Yeah.
That was a chilly show. Yeah, now that I think of it.
It was a chilly show.
And then we used to have the show of shows at the Ottawa Kennel Club. And the show of shows, that used to be like, that was huge. Oh. I remember I went to the show of shows as a teenager.
Yeah, I remember pictures flying of all of us as handlers in the background, like having a great time, because we would order all our dinners and our bagels and snacks to last all night long while the show was going on.
Yep.
And it was just like one big party back there.
Yeah.
But that I have all kinds of pictures of you know, well, Shannon was always there and the West was always, Dougie was there.
Yep. The West always came there. East for sure. Yep. Yep. And then
Gary Lee, I have pictures of Gary Lee kissing John Glover. And then there was Billy Milne, who always got the party going.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, those are the days.
A fun event. And some great dogs came to that event and won it. I remember when Covey Tucker Hills Manhattan came and won that event with Jim Moses. And it was so much fun. And the Whippet won it one year. And the Springer from out west in California came and won it one year. It was exciting, it was
so memorable, right? And then a show that's gone by the wayside in Winnipeg, and at that time it was one of the grand finale shows, right? It was the North Winds Kennel Club, held at the Winnipeg Convention Center.
I didn't have to go outside.
Never had to leave the complex as well. Skyway to the hotel.
And then they had pierogies in the hotel restaurant.
Yes, where we gorged ourselves on head of half.
I remember sharing a room with Steve Denard, one of the last North Winds. We had a lot of fun. He's so funny, Steve.
Stevie is funny. Yeah, a lot of fun. And then out west also in the summer, I mean, the Alberta Kennel Club used to be so big.
Yeah, it's still a good show.
Yeah,
but the
numbers don't reflect. Yeah,
right.
Because it was a good. What was it? 4 or 5 days? Because there was Thursday was a day of specialties, and then I think we had the four Albridge show days as well.
Yeah, I remember Gary packing up the truck and driving a whole load of dogs out there because they had a Bouvier specialty and there were money prizes.
AKC had so many specialties. There was just, you know, any breed, like almost any breed, you always had more than 4 or 5 shows to enter at. So it was a great show that way. And then the other show that we talked about was the Sportsman Show.
Sportsman Show was amazing. I used to look so forward to March break to go to the Sportsman Show.
Yeah.
And I met so many icons there.
Yeah.
From Bill Traynor to Tommy Glassford. Bill Traynor was there most years. George Ward would come. Peter Green would come. And they were great shows. And one show that we don't have on the list here is United Kennel Club. Do you remember how big the United Kennel Club was? It was such an exciting show at the Place Bonaventure.
Remember who came and wanted to see the Norwich Terrier?
Yes.
I was hoping you'd come up with his name first.
Dick Irvin.
Thank you.
Dick Irvin from the Montreal Canadiens. At that point, he was broadcasting.
Yeah, he was.
And he had Norwich Terriers. So he came to watch the Norwich Terriers. And then we chatted with them for a while, even though I'm not a Toronto Leaf fan. But.
I'm a Habs fan, so I got
it. But he tells an interesting story because his dad was the coach of the Maple Leafs. And when he got let go by the Maple Leafs, because Dick grew up a Maple Leaf fan because his dad was the coach of them. So when his dad got hired by the Montreal Canadiens, he asked Dick if Dick could you cheer for the Montreal Canadiens? And he wasn't sure at that point because he was a kid, but he became a lifelong fan, obviously.
Yeah, so. Yeah. See, folks, there's your hockey talk.
It's just going to get worse, too. It's coming. It's coming just like Christmas.
But yeah, the United Kennel Club, I remember that. That was a
very exciting show. And again, we'd get all the Westerners come to the United Kennel Club.
Yeah, a lot for sure. Harold Butler was
always there, right at the top of the ramp, and everybody would set up around Harold and hear all the stories. And
it was a lot of fun. So this was our topic this week. We hope you enjoyed it, and it was sponsored by Leading Edge Dog Show Academy. Your success is our success.
That's right.
And then, so our question of the week brought to you by ProPlan, Fuel the Champion Within. So our question of the week for our listeners is, what's your favorite big Canadian dog show from the past, that the one that still brings back some great memories for you? Right. And we'd love to hear.
And we'd like a little more response than last week.
Right, because last week's question.
This thing wasn't on last week, probably. So maybe. Check. Is this thing on? Check.
Yeah, because last week we got nothing.
Yeah, but maybe it was just too, not that it was too deep for the listeners, everybody's talking about that right now.
Yeah.
Maybe that was why.
So we appreciate that, but you know, it was something to discuss. And and obviously you guys have had enough of it being discussed. So that was for those that don't know or didn't hear last year, it was about the AKC limited registration.
Limited registration, yeah. And it was a hot topic there, and they're still talking about it because of what AKC is trying to do, to make let the limited registered dogs compete at confirmation events, which had the confirmation world in an uproar down there. We've always done it up here. So
yeah. But so this week's question, though, I feel we will get a better response. Oh, yeah,
because there's so many great shows out there, and people, and I'm sure it will draw on a lot of memory strings on people. So I hope that it's sort of like listening to a song that takes you back to bygone eras.
Yes.
If you build it, they will come. No.
There's a voice that keeps on calling me. So let's hear about the dog shows of the past. And there's probably dog shows we don't even know about. So,
our
country is very large.
I'd love to have an event like Morris and Essex where we all dressed up. Now, like the kennel club that I belong to, Old York Kennel Club, we were sort of leaning towards that when we first started because Old York is what used to be the Toronto Kennel Club. So it's called the Old York Kennel Club. And we thought about trying to make a day as an era day for people to dress, and I think it's still a good idea. I'll talk to the rest of the members about it. Yeah,
I think you know people. Get on that.
I do know. Okay. I know a lot of people, and we'll see if we can do that one day because that'd be fun. Even if it was just hat day, right? Like bygone era hat day or something, you know.
Hats. Here we go with hats again.
Hats. Oh yeah, because you have to come this year because you're stewarding, aren't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Something this year?
I don't know. Has anyone asked me?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I know people, but I don't listen, though.
Really?
Pardon?
What was that?
I don't know. I haven't seen her.
You know what smells when it gets wet? Huh?
Sure, I'll have a Coke, please.
Don't worry, folks. We're coming to an end.
Kennel and Bench brought to us, driven by Canadian dog fanciers.
Yes. I can't remember that one.
Their tagline. Our friend Sean's magazine.
Sean's magazine. Thank you. Okay, so it is usually my favorite because they're the stuff that Megan finds, or I find even, because I have looked some of these up. I find them so enjoyable. But this was the one, this one, Megan, she said, this could be controversial. And this is
we like controversy.
We do. Two chickens out here. Anyway, from the Kennel and Bench, and this was a letter to the editor. And maybe next week we'll go to the original article. That's what we should do next week, the original article.
Good, yeah.
So this is the letter in response to this article that was written. So this was in September of 1969. So I believe that was the year of our friend of the show, Colin Brownlee. I believe that's the year of his birth. Also, Shauna Bernardin's. 1969. I'm just saying. I know these things about people. Anyway. So this letter to the editor, and it begins, impressionable beginner, breed notes on Irish setters, August 1969, by Elaine Mitchell, reprinted from paw print. Miss Mitchell wrote what is to me a remarkable article. Here I am, an impressionable beginner who is told by books and experts to cull ruthlessly for the benefit of the breed, and here she is telling me how to make long-bodied, heavy-shouldered, short-necked, slab-sided, high-reared, and sway-back dogs slip by the judges. She said, one cannot change faults, and even I can see that, but can't one help eliminate them by being honest to the breed and oneself? Perhaps I'm reading misrepresentation when I should consider this showmanship, but I think I know the difference. An experienced breeder I know once told me the show ring should be the place to see confirmation which brings excellent in the field. This I would like to be true. May I now increase my impertinence to suggest that this may never be a reality for all sporting dogs if fanciers insist on camouflage, etc., in quotations, trick grooming? May I suggest further that we could leap toward this ideal if sporting dogs were required to have field trial qualification certificates, proof of ability in the field, before being allowed bench championships? And that was written by John C. Clark.
Yeah, wow, that would be something, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know what would happen if that was asked of the sporting dogs.
That they'd be, that they'd have to have some sort of certificate of, being sound of mind. Yeah. I know in Europe, that used to be a thing in Europe where in order to be a certain type of champion, you also had to, be able to perform what your real job in life was. But anyway, that was
grooming and camouflage. We'd be out of business.
I just another shock of fear just went through my body when I read that. Not that we've ever done it. Hello. So anyway, interesting. So I think I'll try and get Megan to find the article. Let's read the article. So
then we'll wait for an opinion after that. We'll decide we'll see if John Clark is, on the money or not.
Right. And we'll decide. We'll save judgment till then.
That was Kennel and Bench, brought to you by Canadian Dog Fancier Magazine, promoting purebred dogs across North America.
There we go. Good dog.
Thanks. That's what I'm here for.
Yep.
Awesome. So anything else before we go away until next week?
I don't think so. Just remember, next week we're going to talk about Montgomery.
Yeah,
Montgomery County.
If you have any questions about terriers, we'll do our best to get them answered if you want to send them to us before next Tuesday.
Yeah, we did get some. We got a response in our little messaging box.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, yes. So we'll discuss that.
Little messagey box,
on the interweb. On the Facebook.
Oh, thank God we have Megan.
Oh, dear Lord. My Lord.
Can we just be on the phone right now?
This is basically how we are all the time, folks. Anyway.
All right. Take us away, Yvonne.
All right, don't forget to like, click, and subscribe to the podcast. Check us out on our Facebook page, The Dog Show Drive. You can email us your ideas, comments, and more at dogshowdrive@gmail.com. And so all of you that are driving to a show this weekend, stay safe, seatbelts on, glasses on. Until next week, guys. Bye.